Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, this is Eileen Good for Payments.com, and today we're talking to James Vargas, the founder, CEO, and chief coffee maker of MyCard. Hi, James. How are you doing today?
I'm doing absolutely brilliantly today. Thanks.
That's what we like to hear. So for our listeners today who aren't familiar with MyCard, why don't you give us a little bit of an overview? What does MyCard bring to the B2B world?
So MyCard is a service that lets, for the first time, people really prove that they are who they say they are. So we provide identity verification and approving service, but we do that purely online. How we do that is usually the big question. So we leverage the trust that people have already with their bank accounts, because the bank knows you really, really well. So we let the consumer take that trust and bring it to businesses, just like a digital passport or a virtual driver's license, something that really shows they are who they say they are.
Okay. Now, I guess, how do we show we are who we really say we are in the absence of, you know, presenting an ID or a thumbprint or a full body scan?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? And it's the big challenge with the internet today is, you know, in a world born of anonymity and privacy where there's, you know, ones and zeros connecting us to other people, how do you leverage that trust? And for us, bank accounts provide a fantastic source of trust. When you sign up for a bank account, they do all those extensive checks on you. You know, you go into a branch, you show them your driver's license, you know, especially if it's a checking or a brokerage account. So MyCard, to help deal with some of these pains in the market, we leverage the checks that you've already been done as a consumer. We leverage those as a source of validation in your identity. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. So let's talk a little bit. You have some recent partnerships or, you know, collaborations that you've announced. So let's talk a little bit about eMerchant Pay first. Right around the time we were having IP, you had an announcement that, you know, you and eMerchant Pay were really making a global effort together. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, so eMerchant Pay is a payment provider. And with eMerchant Pay, we're eliminating fraud by introducing those trusted identities that we can provide into the payment space, specifically around auto clearinghouse payments and credit card payments where there's the person's not available. So card not present type fraud. By providing that trusted identity in that process, we offset the risk of the person actually not being there, because again, we're supplementing it with that verified identity. And we're doing that not only in the U.S., but in all of the countries that we support just now.
All right. So, and that actually leads nicely to my next question, which is, you are global, you are all over the world. Do the identity theft issues, do the security issues, are you dealing with the same set of issues pretty much in every country you're dealing in, or are there variations that you're noticing sort of in different locations?
Lots of variations, not even just between countries, but between industries. Obviously, you know, healthcare is much different than consumer finance space or retail and merchants and social networking. There's a huge number of different requirements across different countries and different industries. You know, they all tend to relate to the same underlying principle that as an industry, we tend to rely on information about people, so your personal information, to try and assess or take a risk-based approach that you're likely to be that person or not. So, you know, knowledge-based assessment is a great example of that, where if I ask you lots of questions about you and you can answer most of them right, then I tend to believe you're that person. Unfortunately, in the environment that we live in today, that's not necessarily true, because the fraudsters, as sophisticated as they are, either have that data or have access to that same data. So we have to look for other means to prove identities. So the commonality across the different industries, as we've seen highlighted in a lot of news recently, is is, you know, in the U.S., your name, address, and SSN being used to validate you. If that information is just as accessible to the fraudster, how does that really prove you're that person?
Okay, and I'm glad we're talking about fraudsters, because I heard a good quote recently. So you've got a solution to sort of, you know, tackle the fraud that, you know, you're seeing today at locations. But one of my favorite quotes on this is, if we solve every security problem we have today, hackers in Belarus aren't going to suddenly decide, oh, I should be a math teacher. They're going to adopt their strategies to, you know, our best security ideas. And that's sort of the ongoing fight with hackers. So, you know, you're effective today. How scalable or how flexible is what MyCard offers, so that, you know, when the hackers come up with their next great idea, the fraudsters come up with their next great idea, how well can you respond to the next big idea in stealing someone's identity?
But I'd probably answer from two perspectives. I mean, you're absolutely right in that a lot of the issues that we deal with today have we've been fighting with for the last 20 years. And, you know, if you look at the fraud steps, the fraud statistics, the fraudsters have been one step ahead of us through that whole 20-year cycle. Every year, the fraud rates keep going up. And it's because we don't really look at the fundamental issues there, which we believe is around the misuse of personal data. In MyCard, we have a way of verifying to a much higher level, the same level as a physical photo ID check, that somebody is who they say they are. And by not relying on personal information, relying on something only you would know, your access to your online financial accounts, that's a very strong link that provides a huge amount of traceability back to you as a physical person. And it's much harder. It's not impossible, because nothing is 100% secure, but it's hugely harder to impersonate that than just me knowing a bunch of information about you. So I guess the first part of my answer would be around the verification that we do being so much further than anything else out in the market. But also from a management point of view, empowering consumers to take control of their online identity gives us a single point of management alongside the consumer to create a trusted identity to be used in lots of different places. And if we could provide that single unique person view, then it's much easier for us to react and manage the fraud that happens with any one individual account. And MyCard, we're not only leveraging our own capabilities, but also that of the whole financial services industry. And, you know, they spend a huge amount of effort in protecting your financial accounts and your financial profile. So we're combining three or four aspects together to provide a step change in the market, not just improve 5%, but, you know, with the fraud stats and the fraud reduction that we've seen, you know, nearing 100%, you know, if we could remove 90% of the fraud or 80% of the fraud out in the market, we would have 80% more resource to spend on that last 20%. And that would be a paradigm shift.
I agree. I think everybody looks for the day we can eliminate 90% of the fraud from the market. I don't know how hopeful we all feel. So you've just announced a new product. You've talked IDOS for Lenders, and if I'm mispronouncing it, please correct me. Can you tell me a little bit about what it does?
So our identity services for lenders is really focused around new regulation, depending on the country, where for affordability, for responsible lending, the institution needs to know that you have the capability to pay back any credit or finance that you're given. Being able to help underwrite those financial products and share that information, allow the consumer to share enough financial data, transaction data, essentially their certified bank statements, helps the institution understand what the consumer can afford to pay back or not. There's a lot of ripple effects from that. You know, with greater clarity on an individual's financial profile, the products can be underwritten in a greatly different way than they are today, where they're all purely risk-based. You know, I can, if I was a lender, I could look at a consumer and I can go, well, I can see this person, you know, has $200 or $400 left over at the end of every month, then I can quite sensibly give them a loan for $200, knowing that they can easily pay it back.
That makes sense.
The identity as a service for lenders proposition, the products for my card, includes the identity, the verification, the strong authentication we wrap around to protect the data in the account, plus these other layers of data that go beyond what you would normally get in identity service.
Okay, and you're working with LendFusion on this. They're the first company to sort of integrate this, correct?
Yeah, they're the first platform to integrate. We've got a couple sites using it for lending in themselves. But it's fantastic to see LendFusion come to the table and view this, again, in the same way that eMerchant Pay does, really global issues that their platform can help address, because they provide that whole mechanism, that business process, the infrastructure for delivering these products. And we can provide a level of trust and enough verified information to make that all work smoothly.
All right, and what do you hear from LendFusion? They're using this and on their platform. What's their response been? What are the reviews?
So the reviews are fantastic so far. It is still fairly early days for us. I mean, we've just launched the partnership and we're working through the first couple projects. But they see the shift in the market, and they see it. You know, it's happening in the U.S. It's already happened in countries like Australia and South Africa, where provide any credit-based product, any lending product, you have to show, you know, 90 days worth of transaction data, essentially your 3 months bank statements. In the UK, the market has just shifted in the last couple of weeks. So last week, affordability came into effect. Again, lenders have to show that they're responsible in their lending and that someone can afford to pay back the loan. And it's the same thing happening in the U.S. So not only is it safer for the institution and that they de-risk themselves, but it also is better for the consumer because they could access products in different ways and maybe at a better rate because they're able to prove more of their financial profile.
All right. And this is my last question. Well, my second to last question for you. Identity theft fraud is, I think, a $21 billion problem. So you've got a big problem yet to go out and attack. What are the next steps for you guys? Where are you heading next? What's the goal for you over the next 6 months to a year?
The goal is really to make as much of a dent in that as possible, to work with as many sites who have a fraud problem, want to deal with the fraud, not just as a cost of business, which is something we hear all the time it's just cost of business. You know, I mean, I sell things online, so there's going to be fraud. And we don't think it has to be that way. We think that actually by empowering the consumer to help fight some of that fraud, we can make the world a better place, so to speak. But for us, it's all about working towards empowering as many consumers as we can to deal with as much fraud as possible in that market. As you said, it's a massive problem, not only in the U.S., but in the U.K. and everywhere else in the world. And as an industry, we have to get more aggressive to dealing with that pain.
All right, and here's my real last question for you. James, what did I forget to ask you about that you want to tell me about?
I guess the biggest thing is probably, I mentioned it a couple times there, but the thing that I would like to highlight the most is the potential in changing the world and changing the industry and dealing with some of the fraud, the potential to get the consumer to help with us, help with that pain. By empowering consumers to take control of their identity, take control of their personal information, and to help in proving that they are who they say they are, deal with some of these pains in the market, that $21 billion that you talked about. There's challenges, but also a huge opportunity in doing that. And, you know, it's our firm belief that by putting the consumer at the middle of that problem, we can disrupt the fraudsters, you know, and turn the table, so to speak, on dealing with some of that fraud that's out there. It may require us to think differently about how we sell the products and information that's available on behalf of the consumer to sell those products and do those things online. But if every consumer had the equivalent of a digital passport or a virtual driver's license that was revalidated each and every night, then the question I would pose to the industry is, what value is that? And how can that be used to change some of those business models to make that fraud not just a cost of sale, but a benefit to the consumer? If you could take that $21 billion and say to consumers, if you can prove your identity, then instead of us paying fraudsters $21 billion, we'll pay you $21 billion. Have everybody in the U.S. tomorrow signing up for that identity service, and really, that's the crux of it. You know, how can we empower the consumers to make the change for us instead of forcing our change on the consumer?
All right. Well, James, thank you very much for talking to us today. Will you keep us updated in your war on fraud?
I will.